glad to see you here tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go right to the hymn book. So stay standing after prayer for an opening hymn tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together tonight. Lord, I pray we put aside any thoughts from today, anything coming up, Lord, tomorrow, anything, Lord, that would keep our minds and hearts from occupying, Lord, what it ought to do tonight, to focus on Christ, to focus on the Word of God. Lord, I pray we've come tonight not thinking of others, but Lord, what would you have us to do? Lord, speak to us. I pray each could say tonight, Lord, speak to me personally, individually, Lord, tonight. Lord, may you meet the greatest need of each of our hearts, Lord. I pray if there be any here tonight, young or old, never trusted Christ, receive the free gift of salvation by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray tonight would be tonight. Lord, they would call upon you, trust you as Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the privilege now to lift up our voice in song, for you are worthy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab that hymn book as Shane comes.
All right, that's 579 Onward Christian Soldiers. 579 as we sing.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master, lead against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner grow. Onward Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's oath doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, unto victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your banners raise. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army, brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, oh, one body way, one in hope and doctrine, one in verity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. On the last, onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with our voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Pastor, have a little story for you. I don't usually read a story. It's a little bit of humor, but it has a little bit of Bible truth in it. It'll give you something to think about before we do the chorus and dismiss our teens. Maybe you've heard it before. Farmer had an ox and a mule. He would hitch them together. One night, after several days of continuous plowing, the ox said to the mule, "We've been working pretty hard this week. Let's just play sick tomorrow and lay here in the stalls all day. We need a break." "Well, you can do that if you want to," said the mule, "but I believe I'll go to work." So the next morning when the farmer came out, the ox played real sick. The farmer bedded him down with clean water, gave him a bucket of oats, and left him for the day as he went forth to plow, this time with just the mule. All that day, the ox just lay in a stall, took it easy, ate his food, chewed. That night when the mule came in, the ox asked, "How'd you get along today? How'd everything go?" "Well," said the mule, "it was hard. It was pretty hard. And we didn't get a whole lot done." "Well, did the old farmer say anything about me?" "No, no," said the mule. "Well then," said the ox, "I think I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I want to play sick. Come on. It was so nice to lie here all day and rest." "Well, that's up to you," said the mule. "I'm going." So the next day, the ox played off again. Same thing happened, laid all day, nodding, chewing his cud, taking it easy. And when the mule came in that night, the ox, "How'd you get along without me?" "About the same as yesterday," said the mule pretty coldly. Did the old farmer have anything to say about me again?" "No," said the mule. "Not to me, anyways. But he didn't talk with a butcher on the way home, all right? And you know what? God wants us to be hard workers. Maybe you heard that, maybe you haven't, all right? You can take it easy sometimes, but why don't we work? Work for the night's coming, work for the Lord, labor, spend time, be faithful with the Lord. We're looking at rewards. We'll continue on that tonight. All right, one final little song.
All right, we'll remain seated, but we're going to sing 609 chorus. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. 609. It's a grand thing to be a Christian, it's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere you go. For it's a grand thing to be a soldier in his army here below. It's a grand thing to be a Christian, it's the best thing.
I invite you to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're looking at the theme of rewards, crowns for the believer, the race, running to win. Read one more short story here. A tourist who visited an exquisite garden, one of the lovely estates in Italy, wrote the account of his conversation with the caretaker of the grounds. "How long have you been here?" he asked. 25 years, said the caretaker. "When has the owner ever been to the estate?" "Four times." When did he last come?" "About 12 years ago." "He writes to you, I suppose?" "Never." "Well, from whom do you get your orders?" "From the steward in Milan." "Does he come here often?" "Never." "Well, who comes then to look after things?" "I'm pretty much left alone. Very seldom do I see any strangers." "Yet you keep the garden so spick and span that one would think you were expecting the owner tomorrow." "No, today, sir. Today." All right. Interesting little story. A lot of truth in some of those little stories in Proverbs. No, I'm not expecting him tomorrow. Today. All right. You might say, that'd be pretty hard to do that, though, day after day after day. But yet, that's faithfulness. And the Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, when could the Lord return? If you and I think not for a good while, then there's a good chance we might be a little bit more like that ox than the mule. All right, taking a little bit easy, enjoy life while we have time. Plenty of time to do it, all right? Or we might think, well, the Lord's not coming for a while. I can put it. No, we need to be faithful right now, today, each day for the Lord. We're looking at crowns. We're continuing on the crown of life, which we started last. Today. We're going to do that again today, but before we get back to the crown of life, which will be in James, so just consider a few more things each time that we think about rewards, all right? Hebrews, you're in chapter number 6. I'm going to get there. I'm going to read two verses. I'll have you turn to those. First time the word reward is ever used in the Bible, it's God speaking. It's God speaking to Abraham, or Abram, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." That was right after Abram had rescued Lot and those that were captured by the enemy who had come in and took people out of Sodom. And the king of Sodom had offered Abram a great reward. Said, here's your reward. You can keep all the stuff you got. Give me the people. And Abram said, "Nope, not taking any of that." All right. And the next chapter, the Lord comes back and says, "Fear not, don't be afraid. I am thy reward." All right, that's the great reward for all of us, right?
God, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thy great reward. Then in, again, many verses here. We'll get to where you're at in just a second. And then again in Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, to him that soweth righteousness. Remember, every day we sow seeds. Every day. There's not one day that we don't ever sow. We're always sowing. But to he that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. I mean, how many times does God talk about rewards? Rewards, all right? You and I are sowing. Now, you're in chapter 6. Let's take a look at verse number 10. Again, we're just sort of laying a little more groundwork here and there a little bit. And it's like a large nail on a piece of wood. If you say, hey, hammer that nail. The wood stood stays there. Well, you know, I can hammer it two or three times and it's in there. Now, it's not in there securely, but it's in there. I might be able to grab it with my hand and wiggle it loose, certainly. Now, but if I wanted to, I keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it till it's flush, now that's a different story. And so it is with Bible truth. Many times we think, oh, I already know that Bible truth. I already know that verse. I've already heard that message. But it's not in very deep. And that's why so many times we fail to keep it or to live it or to remember it. Same with Bible memory verses. A lot of times we can look at the verse, whip it out real quick, and then, whoo, but 3 days later, don't remember it, have no idea. Well, that's because it's not truly been memorized. It's not really, but we've got to pound that down with review, with repeated meditation and study. And so it is studying, a reward. Sometimes people they say, oh, why is the preacher always go back and do the same thing again? We already heard that. Get all the new information. Or why is the teacher in school always start the class with 5:10? We already know all that stuff. Why does the coach every practice do the same stuff again? We want to get to new stuff. It's very important, though, that we solidify and make sure it sticks, the truths of the Word of God. So I'm doing a little bit of review, some old stuff, some new stuff on the theme of rewards. God is a rewarder. No doubt about that. God rewards his children. We're not talking in any way about salvation, all right? We're not talking about losing salvation. We're talking about losing a reward. Loss and gain, all right? That's what we're looking at. And so Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse number 10. It's probably a verse you've heard. Maybe weren't aware that it was in Hebrews. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous or unjust or wicked to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now we know this is written to believers. In fact, verse 9 says, beloved, all right, beloved, the brethren, is written, Christians, children of God. How many times do you and I sometimes, I don't know if God even knows what I did, or sometimes well, it's probably wrong motive, right? But God is not unrighteous or unjust to forget your work, your toil, your labor, of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints. That's fellow believers. And do minister. Look at verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, don't be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience, there's that word patience again, cheerful endurance, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Wow. I mean, God is not unjust or unrighteous. He's not old. He doesn't miss anything. Everyone's going to get a due reward. It's going to be fair and just. Giver. And the Bible talks repeatedly about that. God knows what we've done. What's the key here? The key is this. Service rendered to the Lord or to others from the Lord, done faithfully out of love for the Lord, then the Bible says the Lord will not only be forgotten, but it will be rewarded by the Lord. Now, it's not just any service or in the name of the Lord, because God is the righteous judge. I'm doing love for the Lord, not to be seen of men or to get applause or hope people notice, all right, but to do it for the Lord, for the sake of the Lord, out of love for the Lord, and I do it faithfully for the Lord. God is not unjust or unrighteous. Forget that. All right? He is a rewarder to them that faithfully serve him. Turn back to Mark. We're going to get to John. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Again, just looking at a few verses. We're not really commenting a whole lot of those. You can mark them down, jot down the references, study them a little bit on your own. Look at them a little more detail. We're just looking at some basic Bible truths concerning rewards, crowns. Mark 9, 41. Maybe you've heard this verse. Maybe I didn't know where this was. Here it is, Mark 9, 41. Christ is speaking. Verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. Again, you have to use scripture with scripture. You can just pull this out and be like, okay, I'm giving people drinks at the Christmas stroll. we have to, all of scripture will interpret scripture. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, if you read that verse and just focus on giving water to people, you're missing the point of that verse. The point of the verse is even small, insignificant things that you and I may not consider important, but you're doing it for the Lord, for not any... The Lord knows that. He's just using a simple illustration of maybe just giving a cup. You're not doing it, Lord, hope you notice this. Hope other people see it. But yet the Lord says to the truth, he shall not lose his reward. The Lord sees that. And if it was done for him, out of love for him, not going to lose your reward. Go over to Luke chapter 6. We'll look at one more very amazing passage before we get to the crown of life, part 2. All right? Luke chapter 6. Now, sometimes, and maybe your Bible will even say this, sometimes a Bible will have as a heading at the top of this chapter, at the top of the page, something about the Sermon on the Mount again. You know, oh, it's very similar as you read through this. I don't believe it is the same. And a lot of people, for instance, Christ, well, how long was his public ministry? Three and a half years. How many times do you think he preached? A lot? Okay. How many messages, Pastor Cremar, do you think you've preached? Have you kept record? Have you preached? 20,000? I have no idea. All right, it's okay if you didn't hear that. Here's my point. Pastor has preached a lot. Hey, kids that had me for youth group for years, I might preach different sermons, but a lot of times in the sermons, there's the same coming out. Now, a lot of times people say, well, this is, you know, many times to many different groups. He oftentimes would speak on similar things. They don't have to match perfectly. All right, this contradicts the sermon. I don't think this is a Sermon on the Mount, all right? I think it's another sermon. It has a lot of simple truths in it. It has a lot of things that sound the same. But I think the Lord taught many times, many places, many things, many times the truths were the same. I'm sure if we went back and had audio of all the pastor's messages, we could say, well, he said that 18 years. Right? Or he said very similar. Yeah, exactly. So here in Luke chapter 6, sometimes it'll say the Sermon on the Mount. I don't necessarily believe so, all right? But teaching on lots of similar truths, but let's start in verse 31. Luke 6, 31. And you say, well, this is the golden rule people call this, right? And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now you're going to get into a passage of Scripture that many believers have never heard this. For if ye love you, what thank have ye? Also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to receive as much again. You know, there's a lot of believers that believe they're going to get all kind of order of praise from the Lord. No, you're doing it to the same people, your friends, nice people. I mean, that's common. Nothing there thankworthy or praiseworthy or commonworthy. Even lost people do that. All right? I mean, who can't do that? They're nice to you. I'm nice. They give me a Christmas gift. I give them a Christmas gift. They bring food to me. I bring food to them. All right? They say nice things about me. I say nice things about them. Wow, there's no thankfulness or compassion there. The Lord is teaching. Well, what's he getting at? Verse 35. But in contrast, love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Notice, dealing with motive. And your reward shall be great. Not just because it's the same little, no. How do you treat those who despitefully use you, who gossip against you, who slander? How about those that, great is your reward, and you shall be the children of the highest, verse 35, for he is kind. This is the Bible truth. God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. We'll finish with verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you. For with the same measure, or with the same portion, that ye meet, again, words we don't often use, that ye meet or that you measure out, it shall be measured or portioned to you again. Again, different texture, but a lot of truths in there. The Lord again speaks about rewards. And what are rewards for? What are they not for? What will he give them for? What will he not give them for? And so it would do us well as believers to be very aware of the different teachings in Scripture about rewards. Crowns. Now, we know specifically not all gold. Are these rewards only while we're on earth? Certainly some of those are. Are they only rewards? Certainly many of that is. We're not told everything, but the Bible clearly talks much about rewards and specifically specific crowns. So, with that as our backdrop, let's go back to James chapter 1. Having you turn a little bit tonight. James 1, and let's continue with last Wednesday. What is exactly the crown of life? Lord mentions some specific crowns in Scripture, specific crowns that will be given out. The judgment seat of Christ. Well, we will not be judged for our sins, which have been already paid for, but rather our works, our labor for the Lord, our motive. We'll do that. And again, loss of reward. Gain of reward, not salvation in any way. And again, we have to sort of fight against that common view of, well, I thought we all get to heaven. We all get to heaven, everybody's going to be equal, right? Well, then why would there be rewards? I know, but I mean, if you're saved, and we're all going to get there and everything's going to be equal. Is that true? Is that in the Bible? Is that a just God would do that? And why does he speak so much? Reward. Why is there loss? See that you lose not that reward. Can we learn some truths from the letters to the seven churches? Actual churches, actual pastors, churches received great commendation and praise. Some had rebuke. Some had both. Some had no rebuke. Some, there were promises. Some were not. I mean, could we see some truths from that about what it would be like? Perhaps at the judgment seat of Christ for you and I. We're all going to get there. Everybody's going to be good together, and we'll all be equal. And same mansions, all that kind of stuff. Not biblically true. All right, though. Certainly, if we're saved, we will be with the Lord. So, James 1, verse 12. We looked at this again last week. If you weren't here, you're picking up a little bit halfway through it. Bible says, "Blessed, satisfied, happy, joyful is the woman, is the child of God." That endureth temptation. Endureth temptation. Temptation from the devil, from Satan. Temptation to sin. Temptation, or could mean trials, could be a little everything there, based on the context of James 1. Endures temptation, resist the devil, resist the temptation to our desires. Endureth temptation as far as trials and testings. Persecutions and afflictions, tribulations. Blessed, joyful, satisfied, happy is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, that's a truth. When he is tried, we will be tried. No one is an exception. We will face tribulation. We will face trial. We will face afflictions. We will face temptation from the devil. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now that's the crown of life for those who endure temptation, who resisted that, who did not yield, who had a proper faithful account. He shall receive the crown of life. Now that's not eternal life. Not talking about eternal life. If you're saved, you receive eternal life. You're a child of God. God has already promised that eternal, everlasting life. So this is not the same. This is a crown, a reward for the child of God who faithfully loves the Lord and shows his love to the Lord by enduring temptations and trials, afflictions and persecutions and temptations of the devil. For when he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, it always comes down to that last phrase. Hath promised to them that love him. As the minds of each person in here tonight and those watching, you in your mind are trying to decide, now what does that mean? Of course I love the Lord. So Lord hath promised. It's promised to them that love him. But notice, taking the entire verse together, it's not, you don't just get the crown of life because you love God. That love of God is shown in enduring temptations and resisting temptations and enduring afflictions and persecutions for the cause of Christ. And we compared that with the other verse in Revelation. You're welcome to the crown of life, this time to a specific church, Smyrna, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now we may, you and I may never experience what's sometimes called the martyrdom. You know, most of you are familiar with Fox's Book of Martyrs, I hope. I would hope you've read that. If you haven't, that would be a book I would encourage believers to read. I'm marking many of the persecutions in the early church up through even most of the Middle Ages there, not even that far, but just a constant men and women, young people, pregnant mothers, old people, how they were persecuted for the cause of Christ, recant and deny that Christ is Lord or King or different things there, and how they refuse or how they would be faithful to the Lord. You'd say, why love the Lord? They say, no, you burn me at the stake. Kill me. Lions, all right? I'm not gonna yield to that. And so Christ says here to the church of Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, interesting, if we want to read the third church there in Revelation 2:12, it's the church of Pergamos. Not a whole lot good said about it, but what is said about it? I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. And then he mentions the only time in the Bible this person's name is ever mentioned. We have no idea who he was, but God does. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelt. The Holy Spirit put Antipas' name in the Bible. We have no information about Antipas other than the Lord specifically mentions his name and says, he was my faithful martyr. Must have been something about him that God singled him out. Wanted that to be put in the Word of God. My faithful martyr Antipas, who was slain. He was killed. He was killed, but he was faithful. He did not deny my name. He held to the faith. He was faithful and endured. Crown of life. We can guarantee that based on the Bible. Antipas will receive for his faithfulness. So what exactly does it mean? Again, we may not be able to get to everything tonight. We're talking about faithfully resisting and enduring temptation. Enduring as a believer. That could be the test that God sends down to test his children as a child of God. Do we receive those with the right spirit and the right attitude? It's been said, and you've heard this, testing will either drive you to the Lord. I think I said this last week, not my quote. Testing will either drive you to the Lord or away from him. So when the Lord sends, again, I said we have to be careful now that we're not being chastened. I mean, Think about that. God chastens you for disobedience, and yet you might think, oh, well, we're going to be really messed up in our Christian walk then if we are sort of blinded and we think that we're cheerfully enduring it while God is chastening us. But if it's true, and you say, well, how would I know the difference? Study chastening. Study the passages in Proverbs 3, Hebrews. We can help you with that. We can examine our own lives. The Holy Spirit would convict you of sin in your life as a believer. Make sure. But if you are being tested by the Lord to make you more like Christ, and now here's the question. Do I endure that? Again, not enduring it like, oh, great. But I'm enduring it cheerfully, knowing it's from the Lord. That He loves me, that He's a good God and a gracious God, and that if this remains in my life as a child of God, it's going to harm me. It could harm my family, my marriage. So God is bringing things into my life to remove the dross, to get rid of those rough edges, to become more like Christ. So how do I respond to those? I go to the Lord, to His Word. Does it drive me far away? Do I get better? Do I get better? Do I say, Lord, remove it. I don't want any problems in my life. So it comes down to that phrase, promise to them that love Him, to them that love Him, to them that love Him. So that reward is not going to be given just for a casual love. It's going to be a love that's going to be tested. Not the old, hey, I love God. I love the Lord. I love Jesus. No, it's going to be tested, that love. So when that love is tested, whether it be by Satan, who tempts us to sin against the God we love, to yield to sin or evil or wickedness, which God forbids, it's going to test our love, our loyalty, our devotion, our walk with Him. Or it be a test from God the Father to test to those that love Him. So here's the question. Can I truly love God as a child of God? Is that always? Is that unwavering? Now, no one's perfect. No one here is spotless. We understand that, and God understands that. So when God tests us or brings trials, when we're afflicted, do we trust the Lord or do we get angry? Do we rest in Him and love Him? Do we accuse Him of Him not loving us or abandoning us? Or why is this is not fair, God? Uh-oh. Happen. We're all sinners. Our flesh is weak, and doesn't mean we don't have those moments, but is that a love for God? Do we abandon Him? If we take a stand for the Lord at work and we get fired, now would we get mad at God? Would we accuse the Lord? Would you say, God, would the Lord say, you did not deny my name. You stood for the values of the Word of God. You were faithful to me. Or do we get angry? Do we accuse the Lord? Does it help us? Do we withdraw? That's the question. Do we draw closer to Him? Or would we say, no longer, I don't read the Bible much anymore. No. I don't pray a whole lot anymore. Why? Well, there's a bunch of stuff going on anymore. I don't know. Well, is that a love for God? Does that show us maybe where we're at, where we need to be? Well, what are you doing then? Well, I do TV, videos, phone all the time, finding, you know, whatever, movies and friends and books, magazines, boredom, just working. To them that love Him. To them that love Him. When you go through trials and testing, when you go through difficult times, what comes out when the sponge is squeezed? Does it reveal a love for God? A thanksgiving, even among trial, even among difficulty, even with tears perhaps, even with heartbreak and sorrow. We're not talking about a manufactured smiley joy. God, sorrow is real. Heartbreak is real. Discouragement is real. Not to wallow there, but can we praise the Lord? Do we have thanksgiving? Why? Because we love Him. We love Him. We love the Lord no matter what happens. We trust Him. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. How about when the devil tempts us to sin? Now, we know it's sin. We know it's wrong. We know it's destructive. We know it will hurt us and ruin our life and our walk with God and friends and spouses and children and everything. tempted. The devil's trying to tempt us to give in to our lusts and desires. Do we resist that? Do we resist the devil? Do we resist steadfastly? Do we flee to the Scriptures? Do we say, God, I love you more than I love myself? I love you and I love my own lusts and desires, and I just want to do what I want to do. Now, we might fail on occasion, absolutely, even depending on our walk with the Lord, but blessed is the man that endureth temptation, trials, testing, temptations, outward afflictions and persecutions for the cause of Christ. Do you give up when you share the gospel and people yell, scream, curse, which does happen? Just abandon the Lord? You don't want to do that anymore. It doesn't work, that kind of a Christianity, you know. I tried doing my devotions, doesn't work. That kind of a mentality of I try stuff. Rather than, this is what God said. I believe Him, I love Him. I'm going to stick with it, I'm not going to quit. All right, I might fall, I'll get back up. All right, I see my own weaknesses. Blessed is the man, the woman, the child of God, who endures temptation. When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Who's going to give that? The Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who love Him and showed faithfulness in loving Him and resisting temptation and evil and wickedness with the right spirit. And if they fell, they confessed as David, never blamed it on anybody else. It's my fault. I told God it was me and me only. Got that right with God. And got back up and continues on and resist an affliction that doesn't keep you from serving the Lord. It doesn't keep you dropping out of church. Doesn't keep you from sharing the gospel. Doesn't keep you from loving other people. Doesn't keep you from serving. Doesn't keep you from ministering to saints and lost people. No. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Well, our time is up tonight. We may get to a third part of that. I wanted to get into 1 Peter a little bit, where it talks a lot about suffering as a believer. Why we suffer, and is there any praise in suffering? Not if that suffering is a result of our own sin, our own character flaws, but we're not going to get to that tonight. But may we be faithful, faithful, faithful to the Lord in serving Him with joy, with love. If we're discouraged, abandoning the Lord, we're finding ourselves pulling away, let us run back to the Lord. Tonight, right now, tonight. During prayer time. Lord, I want to love you more. Maybe my love is not even a real love. Lord, show me that. Expose that. Lord, I want to be faithful. I'm not going to be faithful to see what I can get, but I want to be faithful because of who you are. I want to be faithful, Lord. May we be faithful, the crown of life.